Can you just describe briefly what is social anxiety and how do we know if we're actually experiencing it?
Social anxiety is the feelings of anxiety that we get, you know, when we're in social situations. And anxiety is just another word for being afraid or nervous. It happens when our threat response is activated. And, you know, we get those feelings of shakiness, of our heart racing and nervousness, a bit like I feel right now.
Well, I hope you don't. I mean, we're nice people here. We're trying to make you feel welcome. One of the I've heard a lot on TV and radio of people saying, oh, my mental health's not very good after lockdown. Mm-hmm. What is it about lockdown that's affected people so much?
Well, we are social animals as humans. And, you know, we need other people to feel good about ourselves, to connect, to feel regulated, to feel calm. But in, you know, the last couple of years, we've had to stay away from people, haven't we? And people, rather than being a source of comfort, have become a source of threat. So, you know, when we see people, we think, oh, are we going to catch the virus from them? Or, you know, we can't read people's facial expressions because they're wearing masks and those sorts of things.
So I thought it would be more about the loneliness, the isolation. But yes, you've just brought a really different aspect into it there. I never considered that actually the whole concept of feeling under threat from catching the virus itself will affect people mentally.
Well, you know, we can't be sure, can we, that we're going to be safe when we go out. And the threat is unseen. And rather, and other than, you know, if I was stood in the middle of the road and the bus was coming towards me, I know that was a threat. I'd jump out of the way. And, you know, within about 10 minutes, my threat response would go down. But with the virus, it's present all the time. It's around us. It's everywhere. And we can't see it. So our fight and flight systems are activated a lot of the time. And, you know, we don't really get a rest from that.
And why do you think this kind of anxiety appears more in certain people and then not in other people who just seem to quite happily fly by it?
I guess it depends in what circumstance you've been in lockdown. As you say, Lee, you could have been on your own for long, long periods without seeing anybody. It might be that you're not familiar with using the phone digitally, using Zoom, so you really haven't seen anybody for a long period of time. And we get out of practice. You know, our comfort zone for being near people and for having conversations and for socialising becomes quite small. And, I mean, we just get out of practice of seeing people.
And would you say, Rachel, that the whole idea of reintegration, what we're going through at the moment, where people are starting to go out again, That's bringing anxiety as well, the whole nervousness about going out and meeting people again.
Yes, absolutely. You know, people often say to me, I've forgotten how to have conversations with people. I've forgotten how to be natural. You know, I don't know what to talk about because I haven't been doing anything.
Forgetting how to do small talk.
Yes,
yes, I suppose so. So let's try and turn it a little bit positive, Rachel. So if people are feeling anxious and, you know, nervous of meeting people, nervous of going back to how life used to be, how can they deal with it? What can they do? Are there processes they can do through in their own mind to try and ease this anxiety?
Well, I'd say the first thing to do is to be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Be kind?
Be kind to yourself. It's normal to feel scared and anxious. And, you know, given what we've all been through, it's really understandable that it's going to take a bit of time. And very often, I think particularly in our society, we can be really hard on ourselves and say, come on, pull yourself together, pull your socks up, just get on with it. And actually, when we criticise ourselves like that, we're further activating our threat response. So it's really important to take our time and be kind to ourselves.
If we're actually out and about outside and we experience an attack of anxiety because of being close to people or because of worrying about catching something off somebody, is there anything we can do in that moment where we're actually struggling with anxiety?
Absolutely. I think using our breath can be incredibly important. When we feel anxious and we're starting to panic, our breath tends to get out of control. It can get really shallow. And I'm sure you've heard of hyperventilating. And when we shallow breathe, we send a signal to our brain that there's a problem. But if we slow our breathing down and we make sure we breathe out longer than we breathe in, then that can send a signal to our brain that everything's okay. A really good way of doing this is using something like a rectangle. You know, they're everywhere. We look at a window and we breathe in on the short side and we breathe out on the long side.
Okay, I'm trying to understand that. So what do you mean? So
if we look at the short side of a rectangle and we breathe in,
right,
two, three, and then we watch the long side as we breathe out, two, three, four, and we can trace it with our finger.
So almost like looking around the outside of the frame of the window.
Yeah.
And as you do each part, then you breathe and then you breathe out.
Yeah. So long as we're breathing out for longer than we're breathing in, then we're sending a signal.
And is that about shifting focus?
It's partly about shifting focus, but the actual physical act of breathing out longer than we breathe in sends a signal to our part of our brain called the amygdala that everything is okay.
Okay.
We can also use things like distraction, as you say, shifting our focus. There's something called the 5-4-3-2-1 technique, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
No, I've never come across these techniques. They're very interesting, though.
So we can say, we can stand there, maybe we're in the supermarket, we're feeling a bit overwhelmed, and we can say five things that we can see and really focus on five different things that we can see.
So look around the room.
Absolutely.
Spot some things, baked beans.
Yeah, baked beans.
chamois leathers.
In fact, the funnier the better,
because
people then distract yourself.
Yeah.
And then we say four things that we can touch, and we might actually go up and touch
tail.
And then three things that we can hear.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Two things that we can smell or we like the smell of, and then one big breath.
And with any luck, you've distracted yourself away from what you were thinking about in the first place.
Absolutely.
So would you recommend people to talk to their friends as well?
Absolutely.
It's just try and have a chat about it and just say, look, you know, as we're going back to normal, I'm really nervous about going out and meeting people. I've for so long kept my head down. I feel weird about reintegrating.
Yeah. And usually we just find you're not the only one. And other people will say, oh, yes, I feel like that too.
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? Many people, they're all keeping their mouths shut. They're all feeling the same pain.
Absolutely.
And I know when I have a chat to a friend about something, you know, it's getting on my nerves or bothering me, after you've had it does feel a little bit better, doesn't it? It's just that airing of it and just letting it out a bit and just saying, you know, I'm not feeling very good at the moment. It can just help, can't it?
Absolutely. And doing something with a friend, you know, not feeling that you have to go and throw yourself in at the deep end. You know, take your time, do things with a friend.
Well, exactly. You know, if something you can't face up to, I can't, you know, don't want to go to the pub anymore, or I don't want to go to the cinema or any of those public places you used to go, do it with a friend. Say, come on, let's go and see a film together, and you can sort of support each other through it.
Yeah. Something that's really popular at the moment is cold water swimming.
Yes, I've seen that. I saw it on the TV. There was a lady cold water swimming, and she was in. I think it was back in the winter, and there was a whole sheet of ice. She was pushing the sheet of ice away to get to the water.
Oh wow!
It was an incredible picture, and it was on the local TV news. I was just like, wow, that is cool.
I couldn't do that.
Well, particularly where we live, there's some amazing cold water swimming places or open water swimming places, and there are groups. You know, really friendly groups. And so not only is it helpful in terms of you doing things with other people, but actually cold water is a really good soothing thing for anxiety.
I was going to say, why is it effective?
Well, it activates something called the ventral vagal nerve in our body, which wanders all over our body, which directly causes us to feel calmed and soothed. So it has that social aspect,
well,
which is obviously really helpful, but it also, you know, changes our physiology and helps us feel calmed and soothed.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
It is incredible.
I'm just trying to think of something else I saw the other day that we're talking about that calms. Oh, knitting is the thing of the moment, isn't it?
I knit.
They're talking about that. And this is Tom Daly started this. He said you know, his anxiety in the Olympics and getting nervous and stuff like that. He knits.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
The brilliant thing about knitting is you're using your hands, so you're actually doing something. But you can also be talking, can't you? You can do it socially with other people. But you can also do it very mindfully. I mean, we talk about mindfulness a lot, don't we, to help with mental health and for anxiety. And that's about being in the moment, doing one thing, and just trying to focus on that one thing without judgment, and just keep bringing your mind back to what you're doing. So you can knit mindfully as well.
Well, it's fascinating. I think we all need to think of ways to distract ourselves and improve how we feel about things. And if we're feeling anxious, reach out to a friend and have a natter, because you'll probably find they're thinking exactly the same thing. And you can help each other, which is really good. Well, Dr. Rachel Dobbing, thanks very much for coming on this morning. You're a psychologist working out of Leeds and also running a private practice near Settle. And we appreciate your time this morning. Good to talk to you.
Thanks so much.